Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you, especially this 4th of July holiday weekend, are you all well rested? Or did your holiday get filled with other things that kept you from rest? How often also do our vacations from our jobs get filled by our working on other things, or our trips away turn out to be more exhausting than restful? Even those who are unemployed or those retired in their own ways labor and are loaded down. Perhaps all the more we all want to heed the gospel reading, with both Jesus' inviting those who labor and are heavy laden to come to him, and his promising to give them rest. This morning we reflect on that gospel reading under the theme, Rest for Your Souls. You may recall that last week's gospel reading from the end of Matthew chapter 10 was the end of Jesus' second major section of teaching in St. Matthew's account. Today's gospel reading, the only one we will have from Matthew chapter 11, picks up the account 24 verses later, after John the Baptizer's disciples came to see Jesus, after Jesus spoke to the crowds about John and himself, and after Jesus denounced the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Then, in today's gospel reading, with praise and thanksgiving, Jesus openly confesses God the Father and his gracious will to reveal the meaning of those mighty acts. And on the basis of his own authority from the Father and knowledge of the Father, Jesus earnestly invites all who labor and are heavy laden to come to him for rest. Maybe even we Christians expect too much rest from our holidays and vacations. Maybe in some other way we lose sight of the source of our ultimate rest. Maybe even if we do come to Jesus for rest, we put him under our own wisdom and understanding. Tyler's NBC station, KETK, this Tuesday night in its 10 o'clock newscast, apparently will have a special ratings period report titled Interpreting Faith. And the promotional spots airing for the series say that people's attitudes towards the Bible have changed over the years. Indeed, many come to Holy Scripture with a hostile attitude, neglecting parts that they do not like, denying its divine inspiration or otherwise criticizing it, thinking that they've advanced beyond it or that they no longer need it. Such is the sinfully proud, worldly wisdom and understanding that runs the risk, Jesus says, of having the spiritual meaning of his mighty works hidden. Of course, by nature, each of us is no better. Even the great Apostle Paul in today's epistle reading describes his human nature as a body of death, unable to carry out the desire to do what is right, sold under sin. We are accountable to God, and by nature, death is what we deserve. On our own, we labor in vain to free ourselves from our oppressive load of sin. But Jesus graciously invites us and all people to come to him for rest. Put another way, he graciously wills that all people would be saved from their sins. And so, in words echoing Old Testament prophets, he calls us and all people to repent. Repenting is what the people in the cities where most of Jesus' mighty works had been done were not doing. In the language of the wisdom literature, they were not coming to him, taking his yoke upon themselves, and learning from him gentleness and lowliness of heart. But when we, with anxiety over our sin and with the terrors of sin and death, humbly come to him, trusting him to forgive us, then God truly does forgive our sin. God forgives our sinful nature and our actual sin. He forgives all our sin, whatever it might be. He forgives it for Jesus' sake. Jesus is the Son of God in human flesh. And as the Son of God, he has a transcendent relationship with the Father, and the Father with him. As the man Jesus, all things have been handed over to him by the Father. And so Jesus, the Son, reveals the Father by revealing himself as the source of the Father's rest and salvation. As prophesied in today's Old Testament reading, Jesus is the righteous King who has salvation and comes humbly, putting away the weapons of war and speaking peace, setting prisoners free by the blood of his covenant shed on the cross. The world, through its own wisdom, does not know God. But what the world regards as foolishness, the preached gospel, through that, God is pleased to save those who believe. As the angels told the shepherds the night of Jesus' birth, there is peace on earth among those of God's good pleasure. For just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, so the Son, our good shepherd, knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, who lays down and takes back up his life for them. When the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, the Father put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things for the benefit of his body, the church. The church arguably is created at the baptismal font, for holy baptism gives the Holy Spirit by which the Son reveals the Father. The Son reveals the Father there at the font, even to little children, babies, and infants, untaught and in some sense untainted by the world's teaching. All who enter the kingdom of heaven do so in some sense like little children, and judgment threatens those who keep such little ones from the kingdom, for God has prepared praise from the mouths of such infants and nursing babies. All of those who believe and are baptized are saved at the font, receiving him by faith, and so receiving the forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. Baptized believers also make themselves available for the other sacraments that the church uses to give the forgiveness of sins. We baptized believers confess to our pastor the sins that we know and feel in our hearts. And so we receive from our pastor, as from Christ himself, individual absolution, forgiveness on earth and in heaven. And instructed, examined, and absolved, we baptized believers come most of all to this altar rail in order to receive the sacrament of the altar, Christ's body in bread and his blood in wine, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, and so also for life and for salvation. Don't miss the connection between the sacrament and rest. After Jesus speaks in the gospel reading of finding rest for our souls, the very next thing that St. Matthew's gospel account tells is of Jesus' being Lord of the Sabbath, of the Sabbath's rest and of the bread of the Lord's house. Do you want rest for your souls? Come to Christ here. Here he offers you all of his treasure, your soul's highest good, as we will sing in the distribution hymn. Are you weak in faith, terrified because of your many and great sins? Do you consider yourself unworthy of this treasure and the benefits of Christ and wish that you could better serve God? The sacrament is for you. He is here for you. Through such means, however, he lets you potentially resist him. And yet, by no means should you doubt that God wants you to so come to Jesus Christ and so be saved, though the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh might try to convince us otherwise. Both the proclamation of repentance and the promise of the gospel extend to all people, as today's gospel reading made clear. As with St. Paul in today's epistle reading, war does wage within our members. But thanks be to God, he has delivered us from our bodies of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Far more than any holiday or vacation, as we yoke ourselves to Jesus and to his teaching, by grace through faith, we find rest for our souls and for our bodies. God sets our souls free from our sins already now. And with the resurrection of the body, he will give us the full joys of salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.